day. It's a beautiful day for you. God knows mother. Go ahead and be seated. I think, who prayed, right? I'm going to start doing that. Take a seat. Get your Bible out. God knows mother this morning. God always knows mother. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is a mother, but it says that he's like a mother. He says to us, I am like a mother. So when I think about moms, you know, there's so many things you could read leading up to this thing. I've been reading and reading and saying, man, okay, I got to narrow it down. But I ran across a few stories of a little boy who was watching his mom prepare his lunch. And he noticed that she had a few white hairs popping out on her head. And he said, Mom, you got some white hairs right there. How did that happen, you know? And she said, well, every time you act up and you talk back, or I get a white hair. And he goes, he just looked at her, just deep consternation. And he said, so is that what happened to Grandma? Yeah. Because her whole head is white, you know? You don't get it? In other words, it cuts across. Another one, a teacher, elementary school teacher, had a, I think it was second grade, she had this science project where she gave every one of her little kids some magnets, and each one of them had a magnet, and they were picking up, you know, nails and needles, and real cool, you know. She told them, now there might be a pop quiz down the road, so, you know, remember what you're doing. And the next day she showed up and she gave each one of them a sheet of paper, and she said, okay, now notice on that paper there's five blanks. Now, the first one, I already filled it in for you with a capital M. What, you know, now think of what picks up things. And of course they went to work. She picked up the papers, and without fail, now I'm not sure if this is a true story, without fail, every one of them put mother. It's a five-letter word, magnet or mother. They put mother. It's always picking up after me. So, you know, we have moms, and it's always good news. I don't know about you. Some people don't have good relations with moms. And I believe God comes in, and he's like a mother, as I said before. Others have great moms. You know, my mom, I love my mom. I mean, kind of bittersweet. You know, I have Linda. She's a mom and a grandmother. And then I have my mother, who is in the Lord's hands now, and her birthday is on May 4th. So without fail, I said, why do I feel funky on May 4th? Because I used to make a phone call every May 4th, and I look on the calendar, and there it is, Mom. Or even better yet, Google helps you, reminds you, Mom's birthday. Thanks a lot, Google. But either way, whether you see it or not, there's something in there. So everybody, when you have a holiday like this, you're thinking about someone gone or someone not there anymore, or especially you start focusing, and it's like, okay, I want to be happy and give. And God, I think, fills in the blank for us. Mother's Day is the third biggest holiday, if you didn't know that, after Christmas and Easter. Third biggest. Third ones where more cards and more things are purchased and more hoopla and stuff. And that's good. I think moms do need a day. It's nice to have, for dads to have a day, but it's different with moms. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? God created moms. Now, I had a grandmother who raised me as a mother. So I had both worlds. My grandmother had tremendous disciplinary skills, and she already knew. She raised my mom, so she already knew I had some DNA in me, so she knew how to make mistakes here, but I'm not going to make mistakes with you. All right? So I had grandma in there, and I love my grandma. She was a very loving woman, but she was hardcore, you know. As I shared last week, you know, about when washing hands and stuff, she was the one that was always, hey, did you wash those hands before you put your hands in the tortillas there? Yeah, I did. I did wash my hands. Now, I wasn't lying. I had washed my hands that morning when I got out of bed, right? But she said, I didn't hear the water. Get those dirty hands, mentiroso. Get those dirty hands and go wash your hands before you put them in the tortillas. So those are memories that pop back up. But at the same time, my grandmother would feed me like a king. Now, my mom, she would never ask me that. Did you wash your hands? She'd look at me, and I'd just go wash my hands. I already knew. She'd be like... So prayerfully, you have good memories like that, and I do. But I appreciate, you know, my wife, my youngest daughter, she's a mom now, just little Judah, you know. They're actually moving today, so they're on the road. But I sent her a Mother's Day greeting as well. So I think about moms, and I could go on and on, different stories, but prayerfully that kind of fuels it here. Because God knows mother. He created mothers from the beginning. He created Eve. And I think about moms and what they have to go through. 9 months of labor, right? I don't know what that's like. I know the uncomfortability, but also know the joy and the anticipation. All the different emotions go back and forth from a man's perspective, a husband's perspective, a father's perspective. But boy, man, I'm uncomfortable. Oh gosh, yeah, if I had a watermelon down in my belly right there, I'd probably be uncomfortable too, right? So you get in there and you gotta be giving kind of, remember, you know, coaching, saying the right things. You gotta say the right things. You got it. Yeah, I'm here. What do you need? Breathing and stuff. God understood that when the world was fallen, he says you're gonna have great pain in childbirth to Eve. So I think there was a lot of happiness, but the scriptures really don't record it. Immediately she had Cain and Abel, two boys, and one killed the other. And I'm going, my goodness, what a story right there. What a grief that she would have the rest of her life. And then God comforted them and they gave birth to Seth, which is the line of the Messiah, who would be the offspring of the woman who would crush the snake's head and he would bite his heel. So we see that leading up to Jesus Christ right there. I think there's a reason, you know, God is a father throughout, and fathers, he's a good father, right? We sing that song, he's a good, good father. Does he have anger? Yes, there's anger in there, but boy, it takes centuries to really get that anger. When you got to read the scriptures and say, man, it took he was angry, but it took centuries of stubbornness, of refusal to listen. But in spite of that, God likens himself through his word to a mother caring for his people. In Deuteronomy 32, oh, there we go. God comforts like a mother. That's the first thing. Two things. God comforts like a mother. But first of all, I want to look at some scriptures before we head into those points. In Deuteronomy 32, 9 through 11, God speaking through Moses to the Israelites. And the Israelites complain throughout the Exodus. They complained when they finally hit the promised land. But Moses said this in 32, 9 through 11, the Lord's own portion was his people, Jacob his allotted share. He sustained him in a desert land, in a howling wilderness waste. He shielded him, cared for him, guarded him as the apple of his eye. And look at this, as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings and takes them up and bears them aloft on its pinions. God said, I care for my people Israel like an eagle hovering over her little eaglets. You ain't going to fight those eagles. They're pretty strong and they're pretty big and they're pretty vicious, especially when it comes to eaglets. Have you ever seen National Geographic? So like a mother eagle, he said he protected and taught them how to fly. That's one of the first evidences. He says, I'm like a mother. I'm hovering over you. You may not know that, but right now God is hovering over us. Yeah. And he's looking down on us as eaglets, saying, you yet don't know how to fly, but I'm going to teach you. I'm going to protect you. I'm hovering over you. So it's kind of like a mom that has a newborn baby. The mom's going to hover, right? Just touch with one finger, kids, right? Just one finger. Got to learn to touch the baby, only one finger, because they don't know, right? So the mom's going to hover. There's a protection, protectiveness that happens right there. My wife was sharing a cute story about, you know, she was sleeping. Selah, who's a little older, about 13 months, she's sleeping with her. And they'd wake up in the morning and she'd go over to Linda and she'd go like that there and touch her nose with one finger. Because that's the rule. You only touch with one finger. So Linda would touch her nose like that. I said, well, at least she has the rule down. Where did she learn that? From the mother who's hovering like an eagle over the eaglets. He cares for his people that much. In Psalm 22, 9 through 10, in the great passage of lamentation of David, talking about how difficult it felt that everybody was against him and trying to destroy him, and the one that Jesus quoted in verses 1 and 2 on the cross, why have you forsaken me? Well, in verse 9 and 10, this is what David also said in that prophecy, and it applies to Jesus, but it also applies to us. He said, yet it was you, speaking to God, praying to God, who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. God is concerned for his people like a mother cares for the child that she has delivered. David said that God was like a midwife helping to birth him. So God is actually in the birthing process, bringing us into the world in a spiritual sense. So whatever hands are helping, whether it be a fireman's or a nurse or, you know, one of my children, the nurse delivered, you know, one of my children because she came so quickly. And the doctor came in. I think I told that story before. I won't go back and talk about us racing on the freeway. But he came in. He looked. He goes, not dilated enough. This baby's not coming till the morning. I got to go get me a cup of coffee. Goes out, the nurse is in there, and all of a sudden, within 4 or 5 minutes, the nurse says, stop pushing, stop pushing. Oh my gosh, the baby's coming. You know, this was 5 minutes after the doctor said tomorrow morning. So I'm like that, help her, help her. I said, what do I do? How am I going to help? Don't push. Linda's just looking at me saying, what do you mean don't push? And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, the baby's here. The baby's head is, and she's looking at me. She has her eyes open looking at me. And pretty soon, boom. Baby's out in the nursery. She says, oh my gosh, you know, this is the first baby I've ever given birth to, like I've ever delivered. And all of a sudden the doc comes back in 8 minutes later. What happened? How did this happen? I said, go back to school and get a different medical license, man. I said, almost give me a heart attack right here. Thank God for that nurse. But see, God is in there. And no matter the situation, and he's bringing a human being, one of his eaglets, into the world, if you will. What an incredible thought and meditation of God when you're going through difficult times or even great times. Yeah. David is a man after God's heart. We do good to look at the prayers and the intimate relationship of David with God. God is always concerned for his people like a mother cares for her child that she has delivered. So you know that, moms, delivering kids, how you care for them. So let's start talking about two areas in our communion service about a mother. The scriptures describe God, or God describes himself, as a comforting and a sacrificing mother. First of all, the comforting mother. In Isaiah 49, 13 through 16, a time where the people of Israel were saying, our economics is in the cesspool. Our political system is a mess. We can't trust it. Our culture is all turned around and backwards. We have armies ready to attack us at any moment. They're going through a very difficult time. And not only that, but we don't feel like God is with us or for us anymore, that he's not there. In Isaiah 49, 13 through 16, God speaking through the prophet says, God will never forget his children like a mother. So you got to underline that. God will never forget his children. Like a mother will not forget their nursing children. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. You know, God is describing right there the walls of Jerusalem that would be torn down. But those walls are going to be rebuilt in Jesus Christ. In the new heavens and the new earth, in Isaiah 66, if you go there, God very clearly says just the exact words that people needed to hear. And after this, I didn't put this in the notes, but after this, he talks about the new heaven and the new earth, the eternal home that we're going to be experiencing and living in with him at the end of time. To a people who already at some level had been conquered by the Assyrians. In Isaiah 66:13, he simply says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Because you see, God in the scripture, he says, I comfort like a mother. I don't cover as a mother, I comfort like a mother. Because God's comfort is pure and true and complete. Human mothers have failings, just like human fathers do. And right now we have in the world that we live in, who's worse, the dad or the mom? You know, back and forth. They're saying, well, I'm the best, I'm number one. So you have all this fighting going on back and forth. Yet in Christ, they're neither male nor female. There's equality in Christ. Everybody has a role, but there's love and there's support and there's working together. So God is like a mother, but he's superior. Even though in her humanness and her sinfulness, she may not forget you. She may forget you. Not because she's evil, because she forgets, right? Yep. Some people, you know, shared, oh my gosh. And one of my siblings shared, if that would have happened to me, I would have felt low. I would have. My grandparents adopted me when I was about kindergarten, right around kindergarten, where my grandson is right now, which I thought was just Christmas time year round. People, oh, you miss? Oh man, I got to share my mom with five siblings over there. I don't have to share anything here, man. This is heaven. So, think about it. My grandparents brought me in. They said, you know, we're gonna change your name from Rail to Montoya. How's that sound? Sounds a lot better than Rail. Never figured out Rail, but Montoya is good. And that's when they adopted me. So every April 27th, you know, my grandmother would have a German chocolate cake after, and we'd celebrate, blow the candles out. And I understand my mom used to call, like, you know, a little before. Actually, it took about 3 years. By the time I was 9, I think, or 10, and she said, Tim, because she called on the 22nd, happy birthday. I said, Mom, you don't have to call so early, you know, but thank you, but, you know, it's like another 5 days away. No, this is your birthday. What? April 26th is your birthday. I checked the birth certificate. April 22nd, not the 27th. Okay. Talk to my grandparents. My grandma goes, Que bajesa, you know. I think that means how embarrassing or whatever. I don't know. I've tried to get that one made out of Spanglish. But she looked at the birth certificate. Sure enough, she said, Hito, we're sorry. We forgot. Your birthday's on the 22nd, not the 27th. And so what? Like, you know, I was talking to one of my siblings. They said, oh, I would have been ticked off that they forget me like that. See, human forgetfulness, right? They forgot. It's funny. I laugh about it. I joke about it. I never felt unloved or forgotten, but in humanness, you forget. You see, God, though, will never forget. Yeah. God was saying, not only do I know the moment you came out of that womb, but I know in Psalm 139 when I started forming you. When that burst of light hit, when the egg and the seed hit, boom, that burst of light. That's when the soul, I believe, enters into that particular creation power of God. We wouldn't know that unless we had modern science, right? Yeah. And they said, look at what happens when the egg and the seed hit together. It's just like a burst of light. That's when the soul comes in. So God knows that. I will never forget you. How in the world can God remember billions of people? Well, because he comforts like a mother. Comfort is an easy or an alleviation. The definition of comfort is an easing or an alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or distress, and it's a consolation, a beautiful consoling of the sufferer. In Scripture, we read that God wants his people to trust in him as the answer through all tough times. And it doesn't happen like that, but it's a process that God is present in. If we believe in his power and his love, we're going to go to trust him, grow to trust that he will get us through anything that life throws against us. You see, because God comforts like a mother. Well, God, I prayed and I still feel hurt. I still feel the pain. It's a process. It's a lot. It's much like birth. It doesn't happen right away. It takes some time. But it takes time for us to intentionally believe that God comforts as a mother. Now, think about that, mothers. When it comes to hugs and kisses, especially if they're upset, many kids look for their mom for comfort, right? I know mine would run right by me unless I grabbed him. That's okay. That's all right. You're all right. You know, let me see. You feel better? Yeah, it feels good. Or, you know, oh my gosh, you cracked my concrete. Look. And they stop crying. So you figure ways, That's a dad's way of trying to comfort, right? It's barbaric. I know it's not the same. But mom, they go running. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Cry it out. We got this. And I'm going, a mom just has us beat, guys. Some guys are better than others. But for the most part, she's a skillful mother. She could pacify and soothe the hurts of her child. So God is with us to soothe our hurting souls. He's a father, perfect, but he comforts like a mother. God comforts in the easing of grief and distressful emotions, whatever they are. One finally recognizes. We have to finally recognize that God's Spirit, that He lives within us, the Spirit, He gives relief and encouragement and strengthening to our human spirit, because He's a God of all comfort. He's a Spirit of comfort. So in the midst of that, God knows mothers, but God comforts like a mother, perfectly. Am I distressed? What am I distressed about in the present time or this past week? Are you distressed in any way? Well, believe this truth. God will comfort you like a perfect mother. So how do we do it? What do we do? Well, I pray in His Spirit in the name of Jesus. And I remember the Garden of Gethsemane when God comforted him, when He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." So I pray in the Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, renew me and form Christ in me during this time, whether it be immediately or 100 times after I pray this prayer. Please, I need comfort. I need consolation. Am I sorrowful? Who is sorrowful? That's the question. Who is sorrowful? Well, God calms our troubles, the Scripture says. God will calm our troubles. So what do? I pray and meditate through the lament psalms if I'm sorrowful. That's the best way. God gave us 150 psalms of praise, of worship, of prayer. And almost half of them, I think at least 65 of them, are what's called lamentation psalms or lamenting psalms. We just looked at one in Psalm 22. So you go into those lamentations. Well, how do I know them? Just Google it, right? Just Psalms of Lament. And they'll give you every single one of them. Pick and choose each one of them. And you'll find the Holy Spirit guiding us through there. And at the end, we come away saying something like, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him." Now, that's the book of Lamentations in chapter 3. But you see, they work. They work in terms of whether or not I work. Pray and meditate through that lament scripture. In fact, have a prayer partner that you're going through this as well. It's always good to love one another and to share with one another and build one another up. That's why Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's good to have a prayer partner, a fellow believer that you can just lament and make sure they're not like Job's friends that are trying to fix you immediately. Well, if you just repent your sin, then you'll stop grieving. I meant that to be humorous. Because I've been one of those friends. You can't fix it, but you can be there to support in it and say, "Me too, I feel it." Because you feel it, I feel it. In fact, I'm going to not say anything, but why don't we just read some Psalms of Lament and how God worked it out. Now, who is stressed? Are you stressed? Because that requires comfort. That demands comfort from God like a mother. Who is stressed? Well, God will cause us to rest in Him. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus. When you look at the brief 3 years in the Gospels of Jesus Christ, so much activity just packed in. So many ups and downs, so many good times, more bad times, more challenging times, more stressful moments, when your best friends don't even believe in you and you already know one of them is going to stab you in the back. In other words, there was stressful times right there. Yet in it all, you would never guess, as you see Jesus being described walking through each one of these events and always depending on His Father, always being comforted by His Father, if you will. And I think about in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The passage that really Jesus doesn't leave for His followers as an option or even a suggestion. So if I'm distressed, if I'm sorrowful, if I'm stressed, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The word "learn from me" is the word that we get "disciple" from. In fact, that's what it means. It's a verb. Most of the time you see "disciple," it's a verb, that you're learning from me. And I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit so that you'll learn from me even more. He'll remind you of what I say. You see, because God comforts like a mother. God is all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. And Jesus promised to send His Holy Spirit. You see that in John, as another comforter to replace Him. Because if you notice it, when the disciples, the followers, the people that needed His help, didn't He bring them comfort? Sometimes He healed them. Sometimes He completely eradicated the sorrow and the distress and the stress that they were feeling. I was reading one. I said, "Which one should I do a lesson on? Lord, there's so many examples in here, like the widow of Nain, I think in chapter 7 of Luke. She was a widow, so she lost her husband, and she lost her only son, and they're carrying him and getting him on their way to the cemetery, you know, and he saw that, and he saw the distress, and he saw the stress, and he saw the sorrow, and he didn't say anything. He just put his hand on the coffin, and it says, "Rise up." And then he gave the son back to the mother. So you look at that kind of stuff, you see, why did God do that? To show that I comfort like a mother. And I'm bringing this mother. So I look at examples, and over again, you see God's comfort streaming through Jesus Christ. And you say, "Well, I'd like for that physically to happen." Well, see, that's where the faith comes in. Either I believe that He lives in me through His Spirit, or I don't believe it. And if I don't believe it, then I'm not going to experience and feel that comfort. But if I say, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," guess what the Holy Spirit does? He helps my unbelief. And somehow or another, something's going to click. I trust you, Lord. No matter what happens, I trust you because you're the God of all comfort, and your Spirit is a spirit of comfort. He's a counselor. He's the counselor. That's what it means. He's the advocate. The parakletos, that's the word I was looking for in the Greek. See, the Spirit in us is always comforting us like a mother. We just have to rest in Him, surrender to Him. "God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my anger. I'm sorry. Have mercy on me. I wish it could just go away, but I'm sorry for this sorrow. I'm sorry for my ingratitude. I'm sorry." Whatever it is, God comforts like a mother. Now, He can also be like the dad, right? It's up to me. Do I want to lay in the arms of God like a mother, or do I want Him to say, "Look at what you did. You cracked my concrete. Snap out of it." And all of a sudden, "Man, God, are you going to judge me now? Are you going to?" It's so funny. I learned that from another dad. One of my girls was running through the house. I know it's not about dads, but it's funny. I got to get it out of my psyche or it's going to come back and bother me in the lesson in the next point. When my daughter was running, they're running in the house. They say, "Hey, be careful, be careful." And sure enough, boom, hits the corner of the doorway, falls down and hits the tile. Boom. And there is a little crack on the tile. There already was. And he goes, "Oh my gosh, you cracked my tile." And she was like, before she could even start crying, she goes, "Huh?" Didn't cry even a little bit. Now, I'm glad that Mama was outside in the patio, because once I see Mama, So anyway, I know that my wife is not fully behind that particular thing. She said, "Hug her and comfort her and strengthen her as well. Don't just play jokes on her and stuff, or do Karate Kid, you know? How's it feel? Feel better?" Aren't you glad that God comforts like a mother?
Yeah.
But see, it's us taking intentionality to embrace and to enter into that comfort. And believe it or not, He gets us through. The negative emotions may not completely go away, but we know He's there. consoling us and comforting us like a mother. The second thing is what we celebrate, the sacrifice of His Son, the body and blood of Jesus. The one thing that reminds us that God loves us and comforts us like a mother, but He also sacrifices like a mother. I already described the 9 months, at least a little bit, of carrying a baby in the womb and then going through the labor pains and everything like that. Not the most comfortable place to be. Now, I've not been there, obviously, but I've witnessed it. I'm like, the only thing behind is that baby's going to come pretty soon. Everybody's going to be happy. But in the middle of it, man, it's like, that's a lot of sacrifice to decide to do that. In every case, you know. I know the first time Linda and I, first baby we had, you know, the next room, we were like in there, I think we were all night, if I'm not mistaken, several hours, and man, the woman was just cursing out the husband, called him every name in the book. We had just got there, we're a young couple. I'm like, Linda's just starting this thing. I'm just praying, Lord, comfort us like a mother. Lord, please. I know You comfort like a mother. She's starting to be in pain. But Linda was an all-star. She came in and went through it because she knows that God comforts like a mother. Now, that couple over there, man, is like, wow. I was like, and I could hear those words, those cuss words. Those were specific. You did this to me, blankety blank, blah, 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 blah. And the nurse just goes, honey, don't worry, you know. That's one of our tougher cases right there. She'd been in there a long time. So God sacrifices like a mother. I heard it and then entered into it. Yeah, now as a husband. Now, the one passage that I picked out to focus in here is that God sacrifices like a mother. If you go through the Old Testament, you'll see how God sacrificed as a mother, like a mother, for His children. In fact, John chapter 3, God so loved the world that He sacrificed His only Son, so that you would believe in Him and not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus weeping over His children, as Jesus went into the last week of His life, He went into Jerusalem. He looked over Jerusalem. He had already cleansed out the temple, and He had already rebuked the teachers of the law, the people who were leading the people astray away from God, that God comforts like a mother. And He decided, I'm going to have a conference with them. And He just called them out. Told them, you're hypocrites, you're snakes, you are doing nothing to point people to God. You have these crimes, these crimes, these crimes. He basically gave a Jeremiah-type condemnation of them in hopes that they would change and say, surely this is God coming in mercy. But instead they planned, how can we even kill Him quicker? So this is what God spoke to the people in Jerusalem on that day. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that killed the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. How much I've longed for centuries. I've sent prophet after prophet to you. How I've longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks in her wings. And nobody's going to get to those chicks unless they get through the mother hen, right? I saw a cool picture. I wish I could have found it again. And it shows a hen completely drenched in a hail and a rainstorm. And her feathers are just completely drenched. And she has her wings out like this here and all the little chicks in there. And I said, wow, that's awesome. That's what God was saying here on that day. And He continues to say it, how I long, oh America, oh American church, oh children, how I've longed to gather you under your wing, under my wings, as a hen gathers her brood, but you're not willing. What does it mean not to be willing? Well, it means that we forget the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's so easy to do, so easy to take it for granted. That's why I appreciate that we are in a tradition, a heritage that believes the number one thing we do in the week in terms of our worship with God is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He says, remember me. Remember how much I went through for you. I sacrificed everything for all of you, all of my hands. And in a personal way, I sacrificed for you. But Lord, you don't know the terrible things I've done. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. Depart from me. I will never depart from you. I died for you. I sacrificed myself for you. He died so that he could gather his willing creation, all of his creation, like a mother hen would gather her chicks under her wings. He's hunting for them and searching for them right now to love them, to forgive them, and cleanse them from their guilt and their shame and their confusion, and make them true children of his Father as well. This is what he has done for us as we partake of communion, the body and the blood, the sacrifice. God sacrificed his only Son so we could become his children. He sacrifices like a mother. The crucifixion of Jesus caused God emotional trauma. Yeah, I realize that. That was a traumatic day. In our day and age, in the psychological world, that word is just spread to where now we have a culture of trauma, where the word is traumatic. You see soldiers, you see people that actually, but it means anything now, emotional trauma. And I'm not against it. We do have to deal with our emotions, and we do have emotional traumas that we have to deal with. And I think the first way is to see that God experienced emotional trauma. Jesus experienced emotional trauma during the meal, during the garden, then his trial, then his punishment, his scourging, his crucifixion, and then came resurrection. But still, they live with the scars of that emotional trauma, of the desertion, of the betrayal. Three things are true regarding sacrifice. Number one, no one on this planet Earth is exempt from emotional trauma. We've all experienced some level. And remember, God comforts like a mother. And he sacrifices like a mother, and he comforts like a mother. We can never forget the importance of caring for ourselves. It's so important to get in there and to pray those prayers, to take the time, and to pray those prayers with other people, especially for our soul. Especially, we have to take care of our soul. Can't be like, "Oh, brother, where art thou?" Right? Where the guitar player sells his soul to the devil to be a great guitar player. Well, I wasn't using it, so I guess I let him have it so I could be. It's humorous, but you know, clearly, our souls are the most important part of us. Our souls are the ones that think crazy things. That's why David says, "Oh, my soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you so negative? Why are you so faithless?" Healing for emotional trauma comes only when we get face to face with God in the Spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ, or through the presence of Jesus Christ through his Spirit. So think about that. He sacrifices and he comforts us. And therefore, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. That's what I believe when we share in communion. That's what it means, is that we offer our living bodies, our everything we are to him as living sacrifices, which is pleasing to God. So let's close with a beautiful prayer that I read this past week. Like I said, I read a lot of things preparing for lessons. You cut them out, you put them in. But this is by a blogger and a Christian author, Carolyn Saunders, and it's a long prayer. It's long here, but it was a lot longer. I had to edit it out. I said, "Oh, I can't put the brothers and sisters through all that." But it's beautiful if you want to get on her website. Dear God, this is her prayer for Mother's Day, to God. We see the fingerprints all over the precious mothers around us. They have loved us by sacrificing their bodies. You loved us the same way on the cross. They have loved us by preparing homes and meals for us. And you do the same for us in heaven. They have loved us by caring deeply for seemingly insignificant details in our lives. And you do the same for us every moment. They are doing things that you placed in their DNA as mothers to show the world what you were like. We praise you for mothers, God, because you came up with them in the first place. Because they bear the image so faithfully by the way they love. Because you didn't have to give the world the good gift of mothers, but you did. We're celebrating mothers today, not because we deny the pain and loss that some in the room are enduring, but we celebrate because pain and loss will not win and do not have the final say. Because of your work on the cross, we no longer are dominated by sin and shame. And we place our hope in the day that you will come again and wipe every tear and make every sad thing disappear. Be near the precious brothers and sisters who are enduring a broken heart because they miss their mama. And they long to be with her, or they long for her to be motherly in a way she never was. We praise you, for they and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you for the good gift of mothers and all the ways they teach us what you are like. On this day, we celebrate the way your mother, our soul, the way that you mother our souls. You will never fail to sing over us. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Let's partake of communion together and thank God for comforting us like a mother and sacrificing for us like a mother. So let's go ahead and grab the elements and partake of communion together. And we'll be reading Mark 14:17-26 as our gospel reading.